Welcome to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. Brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member, Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This edition of Local Voices airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on a glance back at the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you again for tuning in to this special edition, A Glance Back, here on Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
Sentry stands at the palace gates, though he's not dressed in red. His eyes are looking everywhere, but he never turns his head. The royal standard waves above for everyone to see. The king is with his people, 'cause that's where he wants to be.
The king is still in London, in London, in London.
And he would be in London town if London Bridge was falling down.
He's got a house in London, in London, in London.
And there within the palace yard, the soldiers of the king stand guard. Strike up the music, roll up the drums, and let all the trumpets play. Tell all the world we're facing the music. Here we all are, and here we all stay.
The king is still in London, in London. London.
Like Mr. Jones and Mr. Brown, the king is still in London town.
Soft army blankets, I'm tickled to death.
Oh, how we miss it, it's missus, since he became a military man.
Little wife, it seemed that nothing ever could go wrong. His lot was so serene, each day the same routine, until his call-up notice came along. Oh, how he misses his missus, since he became a military man.
Since he joined the army.
Oh, how he misses her kisses, and all the little things she used to plan. He rushes home on leave whenever there's a chance. He misses more than anything his ration of romance. Oh, how he misses his missus since he became a military man.
What's the matter with you, Breeze? Homesick?
Course down the crow, Sergeant. I don't half miss my missus. Holes in me sock, no perishing hot water bottle in me bed. Blimey, I ain't all fed up.
Well, what are you grousing about? You're going on leave tomorrow, ain't you?
Yes, I am. And what's more, I ain't a-coming back again.
Oh, you ain't, eh? Might I ask why?
Course I've been and given in me notice. I can't go without me little bit of home comfort.
Well, how much leave you got? 14 days?
Yes.
Right, well, I might arrange for you to have 14 days CB instead.
Enjoy the good old days when the world came together to fight for the good of all. This is Local Voices with historian Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Happy as could be. Everything was apple pie so far as he could see. He'd got his wife, he'd got his kids, and things were right as rain, until the godforsaken Hun got busy once again. Then Mr. Brown of London town had a job to do, meant to see it through, and he did it too. Mr. Brown of London town sent the wife away, sent the kids to play miles and miles away. Things blew up and things blew down, seemed a blinking shame. Bloomin' fire and flame, blimey, what a game. But who stood up and saved the town when London Bridge was falling down? Mr. Brown of London town, oi, Mr. Brown.
Tomorrow's clear skies. If today your heart is weary, if every little thing looks gray, just forget your troubles and learn to say, tomorrow is a lovely day. Tomorrow is a lovely day. Come and feast your tear-dimmed eyes on tomorrow's clear blue skies. If today your heart is weary, if every little thing looks gray, just forget your troubles and learn to say, tomorrow is a lovely day.
You are listening to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. Now, our local historian, Jim Steele, will take us back to the age of World War II.
This is KPIP Radio, 94.7 FM. And today we again welcome you to Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele reporting under the sponsorship of the Boone's Lick Historical Society. Well, as you may recall, during the last 3 weeks, we've done a series which examines how Howard County's transportation evolved over the years, from riverboats to stagecoaches to trains and eventually to highways. Today we continue with an additional look at how trains impacted life in Fayette and Howard County. Now, in those years gone by, newspapers, such as the Democrat Leader and Fayette Advertiser, were tied closely to rail operations. Sometimes letters and articles complained of poor service and or what some readers or the editor may have seen as excessive charges. However, on a happier note, frequent newspaper ads touted special rates to connect the Katy and Katy trains going to St. Louis, Oklahoma, Texas, and elsewhere. Depots, as we've noted earlier, were more than just a place where the train stopped. Even the design of the depot and the equipment represented facets of a unique cultural phenomenon. Everything from the brakeman's lantern to the building's structure was calculated to make travel as far as possible safe and as comfortable as possible. Now, the wooden structure in Fayette that many today still remember, located at the site of the present Dollar General store, was considered state-of-the-art following its completion in 1898, this after fire had destroyed the old station the previous year. The new building was described as follows in the March 31, 1898 issue of the Democrat Leader. It said, "The new MKT depot has been completed and is now occupied by the road's most obliging agents. The structure is of modern design and is finished up to a queen's taste." That's what it said. "The waiting rooms and the ladies on the north and the gentlemen's on the south are very conveniently arranged and well furnished, contributing to the comforts and pleasures of the traveling public. The office is nicely furnished with the most modern appliances, making the duties of its occupants a pleasure and not a task, as is in many places. The building is also provided with commodious freight and express rooms apart from each other, quite an improvement over the old building. The platform, it goes on to say, is much improved upon being made larger in every way. Well, it was the wish of everybody in town that the depot be put on the opposite side of the track from where it is now. We can thank the road for giving us such a nice, attractive, and commodious building. Again, that description of the new depot from the Democrat leader in 1898. Incidentally, other station stops on the Katy were located along what was known as the Moberly Branch Line in Howard County in those years. These included Franklin, New Franklin, Estill, Talbot, Burton, and Higbee, then on to Moberly and Hannibal. Returning briefly to the Katy's initial 1873 push into central Missouri, it was noted that ultimately the MKT trackage running north-south through Howard County and beyond did not pan out financially. Later, it became, in essence, a secondary line. The section from Moberly to Hannibal was sold to the Wabash Railroad in 1944. Passenger traffic through Fayette on the Moberly branch, say in 1923, had consisted of two daily trains each way. However, by early 1927, this had declined to one passenger train daily and a mixed local. That meant freight and passenger. By the fall of 1927, a gas-electric motor car had been placed into service, and initially it did well. However, within 2 years, it was discontinued, making the mixed local the only scheduled train remaining on the Moberly branch. Now, once paved highways had reached Fayette starting in the mid-1920s, demand for regular passenger accommodations rapidly dwindled. This, along with the Great Depression and the loss of mail contracts, eventually caused a decline in what evolved into mixed freight passenger service on the line, with only one train a day each way. Occasionally, folks simply were allowed to ride in the caboose. Virtually all passenger service in Howard County had ended by around 1959. Passengers were permitted to ride in the caboose on mixed freight trains until 1964. Well, by the 1960s, the rails from Franklin to Moberly were in awful condition, and it was only an occasional freight that would slowly and very slowly traverse the route perhaps once or twice a week, mostly serving two grain elevators, Midwest Cordage, that was Mexican Twine Company, and bulk fuel for two fuel companies, also Walnut Logs and occasionally newsprint for the Fayette papers. A flood in 1969 had washed out part of the Fayette to Moberly section, which effectively caused that section to be abandoned. Some occasional freight service continued between Franklin and Fayette until the mid-1970s. The Katy filed an abandonment application to discontinue the Moberly branch line entirely, and this was approved in 1975. Sporadic service between Franklin and Fayette continued until around 1978. By late that year, the remaining trackage of the Moberly branch had been sold and removed for use by a scrap metal contractor. The Fayette station was closed around 1969, which meant that the few remaining customers dealt with the Katy's Franklin office by telephone. The building at Fayette continued to be used for newsprint and lumber storage, but ultimately was razed in 1979, in spite of the efforts of some local fans and rail fans to preserve it. And now we continue our look back at Howard County transportation as we switch gears and start to tell you how highways and the newfangled automobiles impacted this area. Cars, trucks, and the coming of improved roads impacted residents here much as they did for those living elsewhere in the United States. Travelers no longer were confined to the whims and vagaries of train schedules. The first paved highway to reach Fayette was Missouri Highway 5, which linked the city with U.S. 40 at New Franklin. Following completion of the Missouri River Bridge at Boonville in 1924, motorists easily could reach that city and then continue to points west day or night without having to consider the availability of ferry service on the Missouri River. Indeed, by the mid-20s and beyond, it was possible for folks living in central Missouri to, as they put it, motor easily within daylight hours to St. Louis or Kansas City, journeys which would have been fraught with considerable difficulties and adventure only a few years earlier. Now, judging from highway maps, which may be assessed on the Missouri Department of Transportation website, it appears that Highway 5 from New Franklin northward reached Fayette by sometime in the mid-1920s. Apparently, it was hard serviced in increments from New Franklin northward, with the remaining parts of the roadway probably graveled or oiled. Now, the MoDOT map, dated January 1, 1930, shows the highway completely paved from New Franklin to Fayette and then, quote, an improved surface from Fayette to Glasgow. Several letters and news articles tell of less than ideal motoring conditions migrations, especially from Fayette to Glasgow. Over time, all-weather roads came into existence within our county, in addition to Highways 5 and 40. Portions of what had been the old Fayette to Roachport Road evolved into Missouri Highway 240 that formerly had been a part of Highway 3. Insofar as it can be determined from the maps, it was hard surfaced by the mid-1930s and thus provided quicker access to eastbound Highway 40 and on to Columbia. Starting from the mid-teens and beyond, automobiles had evolved from a toy of the rich to a practical means of transportation for ordinary citizens, mainly due to the low cost, versatility, and toughness of the Ford Model T. Other makes followed suit, and by the 1920s, those cars were giving Ford a run for its money, particularly Chevrolet. During the first 10 or 12 years of the 20th century, the pages of the Fayette Advertiser and Fayette Democrat Leader include relatively few references to automobiles. However, their presence becomes increasingly noted in news accounts from roughly the World War I period onward. Filling stations also began to spring up, with several located on the Fayette Town Square and elsewhere. Other stations came into being in Glasgow, Armstrong, New Franklin, and so forth. In Fayette, a standard station was erected at West Davis and Church around 1925, and in doing so, it negotiated with the congregation of St. Mary's Episcopal Church to move that historic sanctuary just a few feet down the street on West Davis, where it remains today. The station continues in existence today as the popular Home Oil station selling Sinclair products. And as cars became more commonplace, the Fayette City Council found itself pressured to pave major streets within the city beyond simply the town square. Howard Countyans also, and other Missouri residents, lobbied the legislature in Jefferson City for better roads. In 1917, the Missouri legislature passed what was known as the Hawes Law, H-A-W-S, so the state could receive federal funds. The legislation also created a state road fund and a four-member state highway board. In 1920, a $60 million bond issue was passed to, as it said, to get Missouri out of the mud. 32 years later, the state highway department took over responsibility for almost 12,000 miles of county highways, bringing 95% of all Missourians within 2 miles of hard-surfaced road. In 1956, Missouri became the first state of the nation to take bids and begin construction on the interstate highway system. Locally, a direct result of this action came to Howard County in October 1960, when the first section of Interstate 70 to open in central Missouri begins to carry traffic from just east of Columbia to west of Boonville via the new Missouri River Bridge at Roachport, thus avoiding the bottleneck in Boonville. Generally, U.S. 40 and Interstate 70 through Missouri are one and the same. However, the old Highway 40 routing from Midway through Howard County to Boonville via the old 1924 bridge was retained. For local residents, it meant having to deal with much less traffic and making the trip to Columbia. Highways in Howard County have, for the most part, continued on their original alignments because of the perceived greater needs in other parts of the state. Generally, improvements have been restricted to resurfacing, in addition to widening small bridge replacements, shoulder safety additions, better markings, and so forth. Notable exceptions have been the new Missouri River bridges at Boonville in 1995 and Glasgow in 2009, and replacement of the Highway 240 twin bridges just south of Fayette that took place around 2010. In addition, Highway 5 in Howard County saw two significant upgrades. Originally, the alignment in Fayette came in from the south, as it does today, then made a sharp right turn on Morrison Street and proceeded to the town square and then turned left on Church Street while linking with Highway 240 at the Hotel Howard, now the Exchange Bank. It then continued north past the college campus and thence to Glasgow. Around 1950, Highway 5 in Fayette was, as they said, cut through on the west side of the city, proceeding past what is now Fayette High School and eventually emerging with Highway 240 at the triangle just north of the city park, thus avoiding traversing city streets. Just over a half century later, another major 5-240 improvement came following the flood of 1994. A vastly improved roadway starting from Highway 5 intersection, the other side of the triangle, was completed in 2001. With smooth pavement and wide shoulders, motorists could now make the trip from Fayette to Glasgow quicker and safer, an improvement which also included an entirely new section of the highway, eventually connecting with Highway 87. With this development, those traveling to Glasgow could use the, quote, new road to enter Glasgow's front street from the point near where the highway connects with the Missouri River Bridge. Or they could divert from the main highway on the old alignment, now identified as Business 240, and enter the city via the back way, so to speak, past Glasgow High School and then down the hill to Front Street. As the years passed, lesser lesser highways in Howard County were hard surfaced as well, including Missouri's Highway 124, Highway 3, and 87. This in addition to all the lettered roadways. Another significant improvement came in the mid-1990s when the county adopted a unified numbering system for all county-maintained gravel roads. This was a major development which permitted better response times for law enforcement, ambulances, firefighters, and other responders. Those upgrades were enhanced by the adoption of the 911 emergency response system with operators based around the clock in the Keller Building. And beginning in the early 1970s, the county had transitioned from ambulance service provided by local funeral homes to a full-time, professionally staffed, county-owned service funded by the county taxpayers. And we'll tell you more about how other forms of transportation impacted this area in next week's broadcast of KPIP's Local Voices. A Glance Back, I'm Jim Steele reporting for the Boone's Dick Historical Society.
That was our Glance Back in Time with Jim Steele, president of the Boone's Dick Historical Society. This series with Jim Steele will continue every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. during Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
Mussolini has got just a teeny suspicion he's made a mistake, saying the Mediterranean was an Italian lake. Now must be reckoned as Pope Father II, his boast that in Greece he would win. Now every day is Iranian, what price that bristly chin? Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, he can't put it over the Greeks. Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, they do say he's had no spaghetti for weeks. His troubadours advance with roars of viva, oh viva. In armored cars they strum guitars till frilly white skirts play the deuce with black shirts. Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, he can't put it over the Greeks. Il Trovatore once caused a furore, but Musso has no time for this. He's too busy with his portfolio, sorting out men to dismiss. He's got a mania, they're out in Albania, that someone has certainly erred. That is why Marshal Badoglio had to be given the bird.
Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, he can't put it over the Greeks. Oh, what a surprise for the Duce.
They do say with Adolf, his name simply reeks. Despondent are the famed Italian tenors.
Whatever!
Soprano sneeze on their toppies. Of mezzos no trace and a bomb on each bass.
Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, he can't put it over the Greeks.
Oh, what a surprise for the Duce, he can't put it over the Greeks.
Friday on the farm is rabbit pie day. So every Friday that ever comes along, I get up early and sing this little song. Run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, run, run. Bang, 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 bang goes the farmer's gun. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Don't give the farmer his fun, fun, fun. He'll get by without his rabbit pie. So run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
Step back in time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Don't run away, mister. Oh, stay and play, mister. Don't worry if you hear the sirens go, though. I'm not a lady of the highest virtue. I wouldn't dream of letting anything hurt you. And so before you go, I think you ought to know. I've got a cozy flat. There's a place for your hat. I'll wear a pink chiffon negligee gown. And do I know my stuff? But if that's not enough, I've got the deepest shelter in town. I've got a room for two, a radio that's new, an alarm clock that won't let you down. And I've got central heat, but to make it complete, I've got the deepest shelter in town. Every modern comfort I can just guarantee. If you hear the siren call, then it's probably me. And sweetie, to revert, I'll keep you on the alert. I won't even be wearing a frown. So you can hang around here until the all clear in the deepest shelter in town. Now, honey, I don't sing of an Anderson thing. Climbing in one, you look like a clown. But if he came here to see, why, Sir John would agree, I've got the deepest shelter in town. Now, Mr. Morrison says he's getting things done, and he's a man of the greatest renown. But before it gets wrecked, I hope he'll come and inspect the deepest shelter in town. Now I was one of the first to clear my attic of junk, but when it comes to shelters, nowadays it's all bunk. So honey, don't get scared, it's there to be shared, and you'll feel like a king with a crown. So please don't be mean, better men than you have been, in the deepest shelter, the neatest shelter, the deepest shelter in town.
There's a troop ship just leaving Bombay, bound for old Blighty Shore. Heavily laden with time-expired men, bound for the land they adore. There's many an airman just finishing his time. There's many a twerp signing on. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all. Bless 'em all, bless 'em all. The long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants and WO1s. Bless all the corporals and their blinking sons, 'cause we're saying goodbye to them all. As back to their billets they crawl. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all. They say if you work hard you'll get better pay. We've heard all that before. Clean up your buttons and polish your boots. Scrub out the barrack room floor. There's many a rookie has taken it in, hook, line and sinker and all. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all. Bless 'em all, bless 'em all. The long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants and WO1s. Bless all the corporals and their blinking sons, 'cause we're saying goodbye to them all. As back to their billets they crawl. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all. Now they say that the sergeant's a very nice chap. Oh, what a tale to tell. Ask him for leave on a Saturday night. He'll pay you fair home as well. There's many an airman has blighted his life through writing rude words on the wall. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all.
Bless 'em all,
bless 'em all,
bless 'em all,
bless 'em all. The long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants and WO1s. Bless all the corporals and their blinking sons, 'cause we're saying goodbye to them all. As back to their billets they crawl. You'll get no promotion this side of the ocean, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all. Nobody knows what a twerp you have been, so cheer up, my lads, bless 'em all.
This is KPIP Radio, 94.7 FM. And again, we welcome you to Local Voices, a glance back. I'm Jim Steele reporting under the sponsorship of the Boonslick Historical Society. And now we take a look at this week in history. Well, back in 1509, King Henry VIII ascends to the throne of England upon the death of his father, Henry VII. In 1649, the Maryland Totalitarian Act is passed, allowing all people freedom of worship. In 1775, the American Revolution begins as fighting breaks out at Lexington, Massachusetts. In 1800, the Library of Congress is established in Washington, D.C., with a $5,000 allocation. Jumping to 1883, a patent is granted for the first soda fountain. In 1841, Edgar Allan Poe's first detective story is published. In 1861, on the eve of the Civil War, Robert E. Lee resigns from the U.S. Army. In 1865, Abraham Lincoln's funeral train leaves Washington. In 1889, the Oklahoma land rush officially starts as thousands of Americans race for new unclaimed land. In the year 1896, motion pictures premiere in New York City. In 1898, the Spanish-American War begins. Going up to 1910, Mark Twain, better known as Samuel Clemens, dies at the age of 75. In 1915, the ACA becomes the National Advisory Council on Aeronautics, the forerunner of NASA. In 1916, Irish nationalists launched the Easter Uprising against British occupation. In 1934, Shirley Temple appears in her first movie. Jumping to 1943, President Franklin D. Roosevelt announces that several Doolittle pilots have been executed by the Japanese. In 1945, the Soviet Army fights its way into Berlin. In 1951, General Douglas MacArthur addresses a joint session of Congress after being relieved of his duties by President Harry Truman. In 1953, Winston Churchill is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II. And in 1955, Congress orders all U.S. coins to bear the motto, In God We Trust. In 1961, President John Kennedy accepts sole responsibility for the failed invasion of Cuba at the Bay of Pigs. And in 1976, Barbara Walters becomes the first female nightly news anchor on network television. And that for this week is a look back at history. I'm Jim Steele reporting.
Cheer, not a tear, make it pay. beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only Luster Cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster Cream, not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a
dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
Before the overture to the second act of the Gibson family, let's step backstage and look in on Sally Gibson and Hilda, her maid, who is helping Sally change for the next scene.
Quick, Hilda, hold this dress. I've never been so excited in all my life.
It's really wonderful, isn't it, Miss Sally?
Too wonderful. That scene in the garden.
It made me think of Henry, Miss Sally. Miss Sally, if I had your complexion, do you suppose Henry would...
What, Hilda?
Help me, what's wrong with my face, Miss Sally? Those red blotches just won't go away.
Soap, probably. What kind are you using? Some beauty soap, I suppose.
Yes, Miss Sally. That one that promises radiant beauty, glamorous youth, irresistible loveliness. Oh, Miss Sally, I had hoped Henry would...
Yes, so did I once. And then I learned the truth. Hilda, you can't feed the pores of your skin with beauty oils or mysterious ingredients.
No.
And many highly perfumed, prettily colored soaps contain fatty acids and free alkali that really irritate and harm your skin.
But, Miss Sally...
My doctor recommended Ivory. He says all any soap can do is cleanse, and that to protect the fine texture and pores, a soap should cleanse gently. And that to do that, a soap must be pure. He said Ivory would help to keep my skin smooth and fine.
And, Miss Sally, do you think Henry would...
Oh, quick, my gloves, Hilda. Is the bell for the second act?
No, Hilda will never get a Grecian nose by using a beauty soap. But we do hope she gets Henry. And now for the overture to our second act. All right, Don.
Taking a step back in time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Your dearest memories all remind you that sorrow never comes to stay, and when the shadows fall behind you, there'll come another day, a day to bring you joy and laughter, or when the night has passed away, you'll find the sunshine follows after, there'll come another day. And then together in sunny weather we'll wander hand in hand. Shadows will vanish, true love will banish all life's misunderstandings. The world will glow with golden glory. Soon we'll forget the skies were gray, and like a lovely fairy story, there'll come another day. Sunny weather, we'll wander hand in hand. Shadows will vanish, true love will banish all life's misunderstandings. Then the world will glow with golden glory. Soon we'll forget the skies were gray, and like a lovely fairy story, they'll come another day.
Listen as past and present collide with Local Voices, Monday edition from noon to 4 p.m. on 94.7 KPIP. Enjoy the good old days when the world came together to fight for the good of all. This is Local Voices with historian Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.